Hi, this is David. Have you thought about starting a retail business? When you think about businesses like Magic Spoon and Mattel, who sell through the roof, you probably attribute their success to great products and a strong brand. But an often overlooked secret is actually the business behind the business, the one which makes selling and buying simple. For millions of retail businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, because no checkout system is better at converting shoppers into buyers. With Shopify, you can sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout that Magic Spoon and Mattel use. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inspirational, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inspirational to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from The Open Door by Hugh Black, published in 1914. It is natural to associate fear with death, which has ever been the background of life. When we look steadily at life, we always see it against that background. We are often able to forget it, and are sometimes able to neglect it, simply leaving it out of account, but not forever. Sooner or later, we come close to it, and are compelled to consider it. Someday in the sunshine, we are shocked with the sudden news of a calamity. Somewhere in the music, there sounds the deep tragic note. The first natural reaction is a shrinking, as from a ruthless foe. A famous French writer once said, "They call me a master, because of some magic in my speech and thoughts, but I am a frightened child in the presence of death." We may refuse to think of it, but one day we stand beside an open door, and the question again forces itself on us. We read and hear daily of catastrophes which are far off and do not touch us closely, until at last it comes so near that it touches us on our flesh and pierces us to the quick. But even then we count on our own luck and get back into life, shaking it off like a nightmare. We know, however, deep down, that at last we too must reach the place where we look out into the dark, and only one open door remains, which no human skill or art can avoid. All other ways are blocked, and when we pass through, the door is shut behind us, which no man or woman can open. The greatest fact of life is the fact of death. Yet on a surface view, nothing seems to have less influence on actual conduct. We make our plans and lay out our projects without taking it into account. We go from a funeral to a feast without any sense of incongruity. We transact our business on the assumption that we will be on the premises tomorrow, or next week, or next year. At the back of our head is the knowledge that at any moment it may be our turn to be singled out. But that possibility is never allowed to affect this day's proceedings. Some small moralists have denounced us for a levity or high-handed defiance because of this. But this common trait of human life justifies itself. Life must go on, and the needs of life remain. If nothing else, we must walk boldly and attend to the affairs of life, for life is ever an open door of opportunity and a glorious adventure. Thus, the fit and proper attitude is the brave carriage that makes light of odds. After all, prudence alone would leave us a pretty dismal world. It is because of the very fact that death is always there as the background of life, because it colors the whole environment, that our attitude to it is so important. Indeed, in the long run, what we have to say about it will determine even our conduct. Death is the greatest adventure in life, and to have faced it and settled how it must be met is the largest part of our total attitude. A good deal of our neglect of this subject in ordinary life is really due to the distaste and fear we have for it. And because of this, life is really weakened and maimed. Part of our dread comes from false associations. We have never looked death squarely in the face and made up our minds as to what it actually means for us. Our evasion causes the whole subject to be disguised. We confuse the event itself with the manner of its happening. Many people, when they think of death, think of it as the last agony, which is like thinking of life only in terms of the circumstances of birth. Or death is pictured as a ghastly figure, with the horrid shears who slits the thin-spun life. A weird and horrid something that puts an end to life. It is associated with suffering and memories of irremediable loss. The imagination morbidly plays round the scenery of the act. Further, the future after death is thought of as blank, homeless darkness, or as the cold horror of the grave. It is a step into the abyss with nameless, unimaginable evils, or our thoughts fasten on the gruesome processes that disintegrate the body of clay. Our common ways of depicting death daunt our courage, so that we never see the fact truthfully. The subject is also confused by the age-old questions it raises. We may ask insoluble questions here as elsewhere, but we are not called to answer them. We can assume a definite attitude to life, without being able to solve all or any of its enigmas. Indeed, the thing of chief importance is our general attitude, and not our failure to answer the questions. The first fact about death, the last open door, is that through it we are ushered into the unknown. All our futile speculations and crude theories and pictures of prosaic imagination, and detailed faiths, and denials, leave us precisely as we were. As before, we are still facing the unknown. We know no more about the future after death than the unborn babe knows of the future after birth. The great inevitable experience is an experience of the unknown. The unknown is the chief fact about death, and not the accidental associations with which we usually clothe it. If we have learned to dread the unknown, if we have given up the long passion of living and turned our back from this endless search, if we have let life harden down to custom and contentment with the usual, we can only view such a radical venture with alarm and dismay. A desperate plunge into the depths of the unknown brings a shudder at the very thought. We cannot conceive ourselves, even for one moment, treasuring a mood which could let us greet the unseen with a cheer. When life itself never attracts us as an adventure, we can only be appalled at the adventure of death. But if the unknown is welcomed rather than dreaded, if the lesson of the open door has been taken to heart by us, the thought of some further unknown does not in itself bring distress. The real distress does not lie for us there at all, but in the breaches it creates in love and fellowship, in the wounds of affection, the end it brings to other hopes and ambitions. The sore distress of death has to do with the old life and with the breaking up of the known. As for the new unknown which death ushers in, that has no terrors for the man or woman who courts the unknown. It may be even viewed as the beginning of a new and glorious adventure. It sets wide an entrance into a way where we have not passed heretofore. The only solemn fact is that we can return henceforth no more that way. The bridges are burned. Death, as we know it, exists for life. It makes room for life and keeps life from becoming static, which would be death in life. Even in the region of our common endeavors, we sometimes say that progress will only come when we have had a few first-class funerals. That, of course, only means that we see some value in death for the sake of other life. May we not go further and believe that there may be meaning and value in death for the life itself that dies? An end in time is nothing in human life. It is the end in purpose that really counts. If the end in purpose is that we should reach ever higher results in character and in all that makes us human, we may well believe that in every sense, death exists for life and that life exists for death. The end crowns the work. Without the further experience that we call death, the previous experience of life would be aimless and wasted. Those of strong religious faith have been able to view death with tranquil eyes, because it was to them the gate into larger life. But without dealing with the issues of religion and faith, we can say that even from the point of view of an inevitable adventure, death may lose some of its terrors, which are really the terrors only of the unknown. We judge a thing by what it leads up to. It is foolish to judge a process by its beginning. A consideration of origins will never give the value of an evolving force. So the thing of importance is not where life came from, but where it issues. The value of life is that it is the only road which leads to the open door of the new mystery. We need life, that it may usher us to death as to another birth. Death ought to be viewed exactly as life itself is viewed. We do not know what lies ahead. That is its charm and its lure. The universe has not exhausted, and never can exhaust, its experiments, and life has not made an end of its experiences. This last open door comes to us with the same lure as any other, and it ought not to stop our breath with dismay. If we carry also our fundamental faith in life and apply it here, we are only doing what is our right. True, we cannot answer the insoluble questions which we ourselves raise. But even answering the questions would not be the same thing as living through them. Here in death, as in the rest of life, it is enough to stake our all on the intelligent assumption and very well-reasoned belief that the world means something, something good. To believe that the universe is casual, something that has just happened, does not hold up to rational scrutiny. All science builds on the assumption that the cosmic order is rational. And in practice, science agrees with Darwin's judgment that if we consider the whole universe, the mind refuses to look at it as the outcome of chance. Nor is it rational to believe that the universe is diabolic. It might be non-moral, caring neither the one way nor the other for what we call goodness and truth. But that it can be evilly disposed is not credible. If the universe appears to us as amoral and cares not for what we call good, it must be because of our limited vision and that it cares for something bigger, a good higher than our poor conception of it. I will not believe that it is given to us to have thoughts nobler and loftier than the real truth of things. If we take this as our fundamental faith in life, it must also be our faith in that universal experience of life which we call death, and that it too has, at its heart, the highest purpose of the open door, a greater realization of liberty, peace, truth, and love.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.